He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he'll satisfy. He's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing, time and time again. He's my soul's insulation, my I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary.
Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Father, for your blessings, for your word. And we just ask you to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the word of God, that you speak to our hearts and that you teach us, I pray, this morning from your word, and help us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When I say we preachers, I'm talking about myself mainly, but I do know a few others pretty well. And we struggle with a lot of things. And when I say struggle, I'm talking about, Lord, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to preach? We get words, and I believe that I have confessed that I've probably been guilty at times of looking at words in a particular scripture and a passage and thinking, and in my mind knowing generally who I'm going to be preaching to when I come to Old Mount Zion Baptist Church, and thinking that this ain't what I need to preach. And maybe I don't preach it. Sometimes we look around, but I tell you what I've learned in life. If God gives us, you know, a word and we preach a word, then it might not be for everybody at that particular day and that particular time, but God knows a lot better than we do. Amen. God knows what we go through and the things that we have. And I read this verse to you, and here's my thought this morning. And it can be a depressing thought, or it can be an encouraging thought. And my thought is this: when all of life is over. Now I'm talking about when all of life here on earth is over. When this life is over. When all of life is over, because see, God made us to live forever. And matter of fact, I saw somebody this week, they posted a thing somewhere on Facebook, you know, that said, it's not about living or dying, because you're going to live forever. Most important thing is location, location, location. Where are we going to be? And that's really my thought this morning. When all of life is over, what's it going to be? What's it going to be for us, for me, for you? What is our state going to be? Because see, I have, and you have too, you've watched family and friends leave this old world, and they're not coming back to us in this old world. They're not coming back. When we wake up in the morning, they're still going to be gone. We get to talking sometimes, you know, about different ones that have gone on, and it's amazing sometimes when I think about how long we talk about my granddaddy Carol and his passing. That's been about 46 years ago. Been a long time. And I had a first cousin killed in a motorcycle wreck. That's been approximately about 43 years ago. Different ones, and even here among us, leaving this old world, they've gone. But see, the Bible says this about God and about His saints. It says that the death of the saints, you know what it is to God? It's precious in His sight. Amen, amen. It's precious in His sight. And the older that I get, the more I realize what a short trip this is that we're taking through this world. I used to think, and I know I've told y'all this before, because I can vividly remember as I was in elementary school and they was getting ready to celebrate the bicentennial, talking about that it was going to be here in a couple of years, and thinking to myself, I'm going to be stuck in school forever. If the Lord gives us the time, I got my 40th year reunion this year. Amen. When the graduation from Ponce de Leon rolls around, I'll be out of school for 40 years. Time just kept on going. And amen, and it speeds up. And the days are rapidly approaching. But God help us, because it seems that so many in this world are just leaving things up to what man might call just chance. But amen, I'm thankful that I'm not leaving it up to chance. That one of these days, that the Word of God that we said, one of these days that we are going to leave this world. And amen, this old body, yes, it may return unto dust. But listen, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, amen, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 tells us in verse number 6, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. See, that verse that we read in Genesis talked about what's going to happen about this old body and about it returning to dust. And here in Ecclesiastes it says the same thing, that the old body, that our bodies is going to return to dust. But amen, it said the spirit is going to return unto God who gave it. And so here death is referenced, and the thing that takes place immediately following this death of this body. And the scripture other places speaks of it as the folding up of a tent. I don't know if any of you have ever been camping, took a tent, but I have. And you stayed in it forever, how many days and nights. It was your shelter. It was your place that you resided for that little bit of time, your protection. But when you got ready to leave and go home, you folded it up. And amen, one of these days the same thing's going to happen to this old body. We're going to fold it up. We're going to fold it up. And when all of life is over, when all of life is over for me, for you, am I going to be pleased with what I've done, with the life that I've lived, and with the things that I have been given charge over? Have I taken care of them the way that would please God? Because, amen, I was reminded, Leonard Ravenhill, a preacher from days gone by, he once asked this question. And he said, what will it be 5 minutes inside of eternity? What's it going to be? What will it be 5 minutes inside eternity? Will I say, will I think then, inside eternity, that I should have prayed more? I should have studied more. I should have visited more. Amen. I should have done more for the kingdom of God. Or heaven forbid, for some, they're going to think, amen, I should have listened to the word of God and got right with God. When all of life is over, amen, what is it going to be for us? Now, I'm going to share a truth right here with you this morning that has escaped the multitudes. Many folks do not believe this. I mean, they might tell you they believe it, but they do not live as though they believe it. Many, and maybe they do not believe it. But here is the truth. Dying does not make one righteous. That's not what does it. Well, that's not what makes us righteous when we die. Amen. Ever how the tree falls? Amen. That's how it lies. That's how it is. And dying does not make a man, woman, boy, or girl righteous. Listen, Jesus is the only one who can make anyone righteous. The book of Romans tells us that in the book of Romans chapter number 3. We find in Romans chapter number 3 in verse number 21. Romans chapter 3 in verse 21 it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I mean, how do we receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? We believe Jesus. We trust Jesus. Amen. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, that raises a very important question, the most important question, and that is, have we been born again? Amen. Have we been born again into the family of God? Because when we get right down to it, listen, we classify people, and if you're on an application of some sort, and it'll distinguish, it'll have a place down there, and it'll say race, and boy, it'll list the things, and you can check all boxes, and we categorize people as upper class and middle class and lower class, and I mean just all sorts of things. But when it boils right down to it, there's only two kind of people in all the world. Lost and saved. Amen. Lost and saved. There's no third party. There's no third group. Amen. We're either lost, we're either born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, or we are lost. And when all of this life is over, our spirit will return unto God who gave it. See, the only reason that we're walking here today, the only reason we were able to come today, the Bible tells us, you know who gives us life and breath and all things? God does. You know who He gives that to? He gives it to you. He gives it to me. He gives it to those that are on the outside, those that are on the inside. Amen. Those this morning that are going about in this world cursing and kicking against God, it is God that gives them the very breath that they breathe. But one of these days, it's all going to be over. When all of life is over, what is it going to be? God has created us, and by creation we are His, and because of that, amen, God will be the judge. That's why the Spirit returns to God, because, amen, He's the one that gave it. And so God is the one that will have the final say and be the judge thereof. When we read in places like Genesis 2 and 7, it speaks of God, He breathed life into mankind. He breathed life into mankind. And God, from the very beginning, has been trying to give unto mankind life. And not only life, but John 10 and 10 says, life more abundantly. John 10 and 10 says that the devil cometh for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. The old devil in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, he lied to Adam and Eve. He's been lying ever since. And God's been looking to man to give them life. Not just life here, but life hereafter. He asked Israel, He said in the book of Ezekiel a couple of different places, why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why? He stood and He looked out over Jerusalem and He wept over Jerusalem and He asked them, why wouldn't they come? How many times He had tried to gather them, but amen, they would not. I tell you what we have in this world today, we've got many people, and God help us all, we can all be deceived. And if we're not careful, the person that can deceive us the most is ourself. And we'll believe ourselves and we'll walk on in the deception, deceiving ourselves. But listen, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, God knows our real character and He will judge us accordingly. God's never been deceived. God's never been mocked. Amen. Not in the standpoint of that we got something over on God. You know, there's been a few times in my life that I thought maybe I got something over on Mom and Daddy. You know, maybe I got something over. You know, a few times I found out, you know, what I thought I got over. It didn't work out just like that. And eventually I paid the price. But you know what? We can slide some things by some people some of the time. But can I tell you that we've never slid anything past God? Never have. Not only have you never slid anything past God, nobody else has either. God's not deceived. He knows everything about us. And God is not mocked. Man cannot make God to think that they have true religion when they have none. Because God's not mocked. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Because God knows. God knows man. He knows our heart. And listen, to live in this state, to live in this state and to have no remorse, we don't come to God for forgiveness. Listen, mankind can fall into sin. But amen for these that live there. Amen, God knows. David fell into sin, but you know what he did? It took him a little bit, but amen, he repented. Amen, he repented. What happens to us when all of life is over? A very familiar scene in the Bible is told to us in the book of Luke, chapter number 16. We're not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but we're just going to read just a couple of verses, because I believe most of we probably know this. Jesus speaking here about the rich man and Lazarus. And he says in verse number 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died." Amen. That was Lazarus. The beggar died. You know what that meant? That meant his life here was over. He died. "And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." In verse 23 it says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now we notice in these two verses, we see the beggar, Lazarus, and the rich man, and we notice the difference. They were in a different place. When all of their life had ended and was over, it said Lazarus, though he was a beggar down here, he was in Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise. This was a figure of speech for Jews. They recognized that, amen, Abraham and the friend of God, and to be in Abraham's bosom was to be in paradise, or was to be in heaven, in that place of abode that they all wanted to go. That's where Lazarus was seen. That's where he was found when all of this life was over. Amen. He was found in a place where he could fellowship with Abraham. Man, I want to be able to fellowship with Abraham one day. See Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and talk about things of old. But it also says that the rich man lifted up his eyes when all of his life was over. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. And you know what? In the essence, what he became? He became a beggar. Because he was asking the Father. He said, he had a couple of requests. We won't go into all the requests, but he asked for just a drop of water, and amen. And he also asked, "Can you send somebody back to my brothers?" When all of his life was over, the riches that he had, all the possessions in this life that he had, they did him absolutely no good. And our text verse tells us that one of these days, this old body that we live in is going to return to the dust. But amen, what then? When all of life is over. You see, that thought that we had about our loved ones that have already gone on, that died in the Lord, and that death, oh, it was sorrowful for us, and we cried maybe many tears. But in the eyes of God, he said, "Precious. Precious." Paul said that he had run his race. And he said, "I've finished my course." And he said, "There's the crown that's waiting, amen, up ahead for him." Paul had already seen things that he described as things he couldn't even utter. It wasn't even lawful to speak about the things he saw that was waiting for those that love the Lord.
Amen, amen.
I'll leave you with this morning. Again, I mentioned that it's been 46 approximate years since my granddaddy Carol died. I was in the sixth grade. Few things that I can remember. I probably told you I remember him laying on a hospital bed there in the room, and some kin folks come in to see him. I believe it was some that had come from Louisiana, and they were fixing to leave, and he made it a point before they left, he called them to his bedside so he could pray for them before they went home. Because see, as just 11 or 12 year old boy, that stuck with me.
Amen.
It stuck. I ain't never forgot it. But I also remember what he told Daddy, but not that I was there, but I remember Daddy relaying the message that he told him not long before he died. He said, "Listen," he said, "I've preached about it for a long time now." And of course, he told him to make sure to take care of grandma and all those kind of things, and that he hated to leaving her behind. He said, those things that I preached about, he said, I'm fixing to get to go see. Amen. And see, Brother Billy Cashwell preached a message one time, long time ago, and it was this, it was heaven is a real place. And that's what Granddaddy was really referring to and talking. He said, I preached about a long time. He said, and all those things that I preached about and the promises and the things, he said, I'm fixing to go. And he left. Amen. 46 years ago. And see, for us, we look and we say 46 years, but amen, where's he been? Amen, well, 46 years to be in the presence of the Lord, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And when all of life is over, amen, that's where I want to be found. Amen. To be present with the Lord. Now, I said that dying don't make you righteous, and I'll confess, boy, I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that every family member that I've had that has died and gone on, that I could tell you that they are in the presence of the Lord, but I can't do that this morning. I pray they made things right, but I can't tell you that they did. But their life is over just the same. The Bible says we're here for a little time. We're walking through this life. We're all here. We have a space of time. And I can't remember exactly the story, but you know, on all the headstones, if you go out here through the cemetery on the headstones, it'll have the name, and then it'll have the date. Born in, maybe it was somebody that was born all the way back in 1900, and it'll have 1900. When they passed away, maybe in 1975. But when you look between that 1900 and that 1975, on most of them, what do you see? Is a little dash. Just a little dash. That's where we are right now. We're right there on that dash. Amen, amen. But one of these days, when all of life is over, amen, I want to go home. I want to be like Lazarus was. He went to Abraham's bosom. He went to his home. Amen. God's given us opportunity. He give us His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'd ask you just to stand with us. And if you have a need this morning while we sing, you come.